This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people. Welcome back to the Pick of the Bunch. This is Christo here, and in this episode, I'm sitting next to Francisca, and we are talking about sales and the five questions that you need to know when it comes to sales, to generate more sales in an awesome way without being salesy. So a really cool episode that should benefit any style of business, whether you're B2B, B2C, big or small, and one you could share with your sales team for sure. Enjoy the show. A red hot topic when it comes to business is sales and how to do it properly well without feeling like a salesperson.
Yeah. And there are obviously so many businesses out there that are struggling with selling, or they find that they've come across as sleazy or
used car salesman.
I was just going to say that, but then I thought I'm not going to say that because that's not nice for
the car salesman.
Yeah, we don't want to say that.
Yeah.
Could also be used.
Bad reputation.
Anything, yeah.
Door-to-door salesperson. Or sales.
Let's not stigmatize.
No, I'm just saying because it is good. It's good to recognize, cold calling kind of salesperson. There is this whole thing around sales. So I guess that's a topic for another day. Probably the whole, how do we sell without being feeling like
salesy.
We're salespeople? Because it's a block for people too. We see it a bit where people are actually interested, like they want to sell and sell well, but they get to the sales situation and then they kind of cringe and they get all weird.
Yeah.
And I think they actually start thinking that they're feeling like a salesperson.
And so, because what we want is really, and we will record different or share with you different strategies on selling, because there are so many different aspects, even how you want to show up, the mindset, all of these ones, and even the visual perception. Today, what we will focus on is five questions every single business owner needs to have up their sleeves in order to not come across as a sleazy salesperson. Mm-hmm. And these five questions really help you to let your prospects qualify themselves, because the whole purpose of selling is always twofold. One is to add value, and the second one is to let your customers, your prospects, qualify themselves, because your solution, your product is not suitable for every single person. So questions will help you qualify if they are suitable. And it's all about obviously the integrity to then say, hey, you might not be the right person for us. We do the same for our Clever Bunch. Every single person that applies for the Clever Bunch, our annual program, goes through an application. Why? Because we need to make sure that they're the right person for the program, and we need to make sure that we can help them. And so we actually ask them a set of questions, and then we decide whether this person, this business is suitable for our annual program, and also whether this person has integrity, because this is sort of a hidden sort of agenda that we have to make sure every single person that we work with in our program, we are a very tight-knit tribe, and the results that we're getting are huge. So we want to make sure every single person that comes through has the right integrity and is running their business, because they have something good to share with the world.
Mm. And when it comes to sales, you don't want to be like a robot, obviously, that follows an exact script. However, with these five questions, it's like a framework to follow. So you follow it naturally. And just on this point, if it's always different each time a sales conversation happens, which it's going to be to some extent, there'll be little variables, of course, or people throwing different questions. It's really hard to ever improve on it if it's always just left to chance. Or like certain businesses, you might have one salesperson that crushes it, like gets amazing results, and then you have four that are average, and it's getting average results, I should say. So the thing is on this is, let's work out what that excellent salesperson is doing, document the process and script it so that we can do our best to follow it. Of course, some individuals connect with others more naturally and so on. I like they're kind of naturally talky people, but we always want to have a process for the sales situation so that we know what's happening, so that we can measure it, and then we can make changes to improve it. And if those changes then do improve the results, we know, okay, great, that's the new process, you know, or maybe it's getting less results. Okay, cool. We know what we're doing, though. We need to adjust it. It's not just left to chance and winging it with every conversation. So let's rip into these questions, and you can take these away and...
I just love the rip in.
Roll thing. With it. Yeah, rip in.
That's such one of your expressions. Let's rip right in. Is that very Australian?
Alrighty. Purposely put that one in there too.
If you have listened to some of our past episodes, which I'd highly recommend, you would have heard our discussion about the acceptance, whether it's okay to say alrighty or if it's...
We got mixed results from the alrighty. I had people say, yeah, they like the alrighty. And yeah. then I don't think people were really that inclined to bash it. No. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just being polite. So I don't know. If you want to be honest, this time is alrighty. Okay, alrighty, next session.
No, rip in. Let's do a bunch of ripping in.
Okay, so let's rip in.
So let's go through 5 questions that you need to have up your sleeves in any situation. Why? Because if you're stuck in a conversation and you're like, oh my God, what do I do now? Do I need some sales strategy here? You don't need any sales strategy. All you need is some really smart questions that will help you move along the conversation. And you obviously want to be in charge of that conversation. And you also, and this is another episode we are going to share with you, you don't want to be the one talking the entire time. The more you talk, the less likely it is that the other person will be engaged. So that's why we ask questions, so that your person that you talk to, your prospect, will talk.
Yeah,
talk,
rather than
talk,
pitching.
Talk. You don't pitch. You don't pitch. You don't convince someone. You don't try and be persuasive in a way that is pushy. You get them to qualify themselves. So first question. Number one is a question to assess their current situation. You really want to find out where are they at currently so that you can then help them decide whether your product or service is the right solution to help them move to where they want to go. So the first question is, what's got you looking for? What insert your product or service? What's got you looking for a new accountant? What's got you looking for new shoes? What's got you looking for
new website?
And you assess their situation. You ask them this question so that they can tell you, where are they at? Are they looking for new shoes because they're going to
I'm looking for a holiday in Europe to, you know, an experience, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's like an interview, this one, too, and you can break it down and obviously adjust it.
What's the holiday product? I'm interested in that one.
Well, yeah, what are you looking for in your next trip?
Oh, because you're a holiday provider?
Yeah, I'm a holiday provider.
Oh, I see.
So what are you looking for? What sort of adventure are you after? Well, did you know that... Because we can also flush out through this question if they're actually looking for the right thing. So someone might say, look, I'm interested in going to Borneo. And then they say, because I want to see the architecture. And you're like, well, wait a second. You should be...
Or the dolphins in Borneo.
That's what I mean. Well, no. Are there dolphins in Borneo?
Yes, actually there are.
Yeah, there would be. So so that's exactly...
The orangutans in Borneo.
Orangutans that aren't not so many left anymore. But the reality, you know, is what I'm saying is they might say...
They want to go to the Eiffel Tower, for example,
efficient car, and I like these V8s over here, the V8 engine. So then it's like, okay, cool. The customer doesn't actually understand... Then maybe it's the wrong product as well. So we're flushing out whether they're actually looking for the right thing and the right thing that you actually offer at the same time.
So, for example, if you are a tour provider like you seem to be today.
I am.
And let's say you specialize in Italy wine trips and someone comes to you and they say they do... What do you specialize in?
I specialize in surf trips.
In surf trips. Okay, so let's say someone comes to you for an Italy wine trip.
Mm-hmm.
And this first question, already without wasting their time or your time, already lets you qualify them. If they say, I would love to go to Italy and drink wine, then you basically can then finish the conversation and lead them to someone else who specializes in Italy wine trips. Because certainly if you're a surf company, you don't go to Italy for wine trips.
Very good.
So then the first question is all about assessing their situation. Second question is all about eliciting their desire. Is that how you say this word, eliciting? It's a weird word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eliciting, finding out.
You elicit their desires and their frustrations.
Exactly. Now, in the second question, you are going to find out what are their desires, what are their frustrations. Do you want to share the questions here?
Yeah. Well, through this kind of questioning and this second area of questioning, have you ever worked with A? So you might say, are you currently working with an accountant? And what do you like and what don't you like? So for some reason, I see a lot of businesses get weird on asking this question. I don't know why? Because the it's almost like I feel a bit awkward that suddenly the customer's going to say, oh, I didn't like it how they do this, and you know, you provide the same thing. So you're like, oh, no. Whereas the reality is it's like, okay, great. Once again, we can flush out whether we're the right fit or not, whether the person's expectations are realistic or not as well. Like if you're, especially if it's a service of some kind, through this question, you can see if it's realistic. They might be just out there thinking there's going to be, you know, I want you to run my business for me. Well, I'm actually just a tax, you know, I'm a tax accountant. I'm not going to provide you business advice. Or you, they might say, cool, what, you know, I loved it how they did this, but I hated how they did this. It's like, okay, cool. Now I know how to please this customer. You know, maybe you own a suit store or tailoring. Look, have you had your suits tailored before? What did you like? What didn't you like about that? Then you know, okay, cool, let's avoid the mistakes of cutting the pants too short, you know, or whatever the person says. We'll pay extra attention to that so that we end up with a super duper happy customer that comes back and loves us. So very important question.
Yeah. And it really, again, it tells you exactly what do they want, and it will help you also find out if what they want you can give them. Again, if they say they want to go on a surf trip and they want to do all these things that you maybe don't, let's say you have a surf trip company that mainly specializes in boat trips, and they want to go to a fancy island, they want to have fancy cocktails every night, maybe this mm-hmm. is something that you might not offer. So then again, you already don't waste their time.
So what did you like most about the last surf trip?
Yeah,
I exactly. loved the cocktails. And it's like, well, I'm about to book you a trip to the jungle.
Exactly, where there's nothing.
No cocktails. There'll be monkeys climbing coconut trees.
Coconuts that have a little bit of dirt on them.
Then you might not be able to get alcohol because it's a country that doesn't sell alcohol.
Exactly.
Oh.
So that, but then again, you don't overpromise. You actually just get exactly the right person. Something else that this is a little bit of a philosophy that I have. If you come across someone in this second question and they say, yeah, I have worked with an accountant, or yeah, I have worked with a surfing trip company, and maybe they just have a few examples that they hated. I had an accountant and I didn't like him because of this. Then I had another one. I didn't like her because of this and this. Then I had another one because I didn't like her either because of this. If they have like two or three of these, I didn't like this person, and they only have negative points, they're very likely also going to talk about you in the same way. So my personal philosophy, and you might want to take this or not, is if somebody is bashing a lot of people in your industry, pretty much everyone that I've ever worked with, I say no to this person. And I've had this recently. Someone wanted a private strategy session with me. When I asked them this question, I wanted to know who they've worked with, what they've already done, so that we can do the right work for them. And all they could do was bash pretty much everybody that they have ever worked with.
Talk poorly. Speak poorly of
everyone. I decided not to work with this specific company because that's a sign that maybe they need to work a little bit on their own attitude, obviously. And so that's the second question. That's just a little like my own little philosophy that I have. Number three is, so the first one was assessing their situation. What's got you looking for a accountant? Second one is eliciting their desires and frustrations. So have you worked with an accountant? What did you like? What didn't you like? The third one is, now you repeat back their answers as clarifying questions. Do you want to give some examples here?
Yes. Okay. So you repeat it back and state it as if it's a question. So she's just told me she wants to go on a surf trip that...
Should we do a quick role play here?
Role play. Let's go.
Okay. I would like to go...
So what's got you looking for your latest... I'll start from the top.
What's got me looking
surf
for?
Surf trip. Yeah. What's got you looking, you know, getting in touch? What are you looking for your next surf trip?
So what's got me looking for a surf trip is just I need a break.
You need a break.
I need to get away from all the toys, the computers, and a Wi-Fi.
Oh, nice. What do you want on the trip? I'm just going to further that question just quickly. Like, so what is it that you specifically want? So you want to get away from this stuff?
Yeah, no Wi-Fi would be great. A little bit remote, the remote surf break, hardly any crowds, and small groups.
Ooh, okay. Have you been on any surf trips that you loved, or trips that you didn't like?
Yeah, I've been on both. I've been on some trips that I didn't love so much because the crowds were too big in the water. It was really hard to catch waves. There were some really cheeky people that would never let us catch waves. And then I've also been on some really good surf trips where it was just empty. The water was clean. We could snorkel in between the surfing. There was a lot of fish. There was dolphins. There was a manta ray swimming around at night when we shone a torch. There was really fresh food.
Wow.
It was very basic. There was really not much you could think of or do other than snorkeling, swimming, and jumping off the roof of the boat.
Okay, so it was an awesome trip for you. It would be empty, like not too crowded, nice and clean, conditioned, snorkel, fresh food, delicious food, even throwing the odd manta ray would be pretty nice.
Yeah, but not in the food, just in the water. Do you want to throw in the manta ray in the food? Or?
Well, not in the food. Did I wasn't supposed to come out like that, but no. Okay, so empty, uncrowded. So you're looking for empty, uncrowded waves, clean conditions with delicious food.
Yes, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So this is where what I've done back is just repeat clarifying, back what yeah. she said. Two things have happened here. By I'm clarifying, also to make sure I've heard it right, and the most important thing I've done is actually just shown her that I'm listening. So by repeating back that she wants to eat manta rays, no.
Yeah, luckily joking. You clarified that, because otherwise I'm on this trip, you serve me a manta ray, I'm going
there we
to
go.
Never
no.
be happy.
But basically some of the points she said were empty. She used her exact words. So she said empty, clean. She said snorkel, she said manta ray, she said fresh food. Manta ray is pretty specific, but I could say empty, so no crowds, you know, and it's clean, nice clean waves, conditions, snorkeling's available and great food's available. By repeating back those exact words, not changing them, so not saying, okay, so there's no people around, she might hear empty as no people, it's something completely different. Or snorkeling, I might say, where you can go swimming. And then she's like, swimming? I don't want to swim. In her head, she's picturing a swimming pool or something, you know. So you repeat back
their words.
And it's showing I'm present, I'm listening, and I'm actually understanding her, which is one of the most important part of sales.
Exactly.
Is being present for the person.
We've pretty much now covered the fourth question, which is actually the future. So, and I'm going to share with you what's the difference between two and four. So number four is finding out what they want in what would the perfect future look like. And the question here would be, if you had the perfect surf holiday, what would it look like? Now, what's the difference between this and the second question? The second question is asking them, have you already had any surf trips? What did you like then? What didn't you like? So it's sort of assessing their situation. Now, the fourth question which Christo asked me was, what would the perfect surf trip look like? And that's where I said I would like it to be empty. I would like it to be fresh food, etc. It's very similar, but the difference is just that when I had my past experiences, I might not have had all my future desires met.
No, you might say, oh, well, I liked it, how it was uncrowded, it was empty, it was clean, there was manta rays,
exactly.
And fresh food. Okay,
so
now let's build the ultimate trip.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So what, if you had the perfect surf trip, what would that look like?
Exactly.
Who would be there? What were the conditions? Tell me a bit more.
Yeah.
Also, by asking this question in the future, she's painting the picture in her head of what it will look like.
Visually,
and associating
yeah.
me to that outcome. So if I had asked the question, like, look, if you had the dream accountant that you're working with, or the dream graphic designer, if we were the dream web developer and you had the absolute perfect website, like let's say in 3 months' time from now and we'd built it exactly as you want it, what would that look like? How would it be performing? What would the website be doing for you? In her head, she'd be building what she'd imagining it, painting the picture of what it is, what it looks like, and associating me to those amazing outcomes, you know, our products or service
exactly.
to those amazing outcomes. Cool.
And then number five is next steps. It's basically clarifying what is the next step from here. And a really good question to ask here is there anything else you need to know to move forward? That's it. And then, you know, the power in asking questions in any type of scenario, whether it's sales or in life, is to sip it. Ask a question and then sip it. This also works for life.
Zip it.
Can you coach me here quickly?
No, zip is good.
Zip it.
It's not so good with the Zs.
Zip it?
Yeah, zip it. It's good.
Zip it.
Yeah.
I said that really well. Like smoothie.
Zip it.
Sip it. So ask
that,
a question
oh, yeah.
and then pause, because often people just feel uncomfortable with the pause in between a question and answer. But your customers need to have this pause to think and to give you a good answer. So don't be afraid to have pauses in your conversations. Should we give a little pause here? One, two.
Back. And so on that last question too, is there anything else you need to know to move forward with a new website? Just asking that and then zipping it, basically it's like if they say, no, that's all I need to know, you pretty much just made a sale. It's a nice way of kind of, because people often like another catch point, sticky point or whatever we want to call it for people in a sales process is the closing. They're like, "What? How do I close? How do I close?" Well, this is a nice way to do it. You know, it's sort of like a roundabout, nice, softer way, rather than saying, "Would you like to sign up with me as an account, or do you want to book that trip?" Like, it's okay if you've done enough conversation, you've done it in the right way. I believe you can just spit it out and ask them. But a nice roundabout way.
Like, are you ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, are you ready? It is, and this is just a nice subtle way of saying you're ready to rock and roll. If you feel a bit awkward with it, or if you're selling a high priced item or something like that, and you're kind of like, "So do you want to buy it?" You know, if it feels too kind of in your face for you, then using the question which we've just stated. You know, is there anything else you need to know to move forward with the purchase of your next Ferrari, sir?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think I'm good
and
to go.
Also, cool. in that last part, you can also make a recommendation. If you have different types of surf trips or different packages as an accountant or different shoes that would work for this customer, you can make a recommendation. You can say, "What I recommend, based on all the desires you've let me know on how you would love your holiday to be, what I recommend is this specific trip." And then you can make a recommendation. Why? Because often your customer doesn't know what he or she doesn't know. And I love when people make a recommendation. You know, it's like when you go for dinner and there's a huge, huge wine menu. I love red wine. And just in case anyone wants to send some. And sometimes there's a huge menu, huge in some of these wine bars. And I always ask the waiter or the waitress, I say, "What would you recommend when it comes to the red wine? I like this, this, this." And in the really good places, the person will always give you a recommendation. Always. In the not so good places, they'll go, "Oh, I'm not really sure." And it's confusing for the customer. So you want to help your customer make the right decision. And you do that by giving a recommendation. So quick recap, unless you wanted to add something.
No, that's good.
Quick recap. Question number one is assessing their current situation. Question number two is eliciting their desires and frustrations. Question number three is to clarify by repeating back their answers and getting a little yes, yes, yes. Question number four is to find out what would their dream service, product, trip, whatever you sell, look like. And number five is clarifying and solidifying the next steps. Ooh, solidifying, that's a good word, huh?
Very good.
It's a very salesy word, isn't it? Let's solidify this plan.
Sounds pretty.
It sounds
sales.
A bit. I don't really like it.
Solidify the next steps. No, that's good. I like it.
That's it. Now, if you know someone who would benefit from this show or this specific episode on sales, we will do more on this specific topic around sales. There are so many different aspects of selling, of course, and we want you to do it in a masterful way that feels congruent with your personality and feels comfortable for your customers too. If you know someone who would benefit, feel free to share this show with them. If you would love to leave us a little review on iTunes, you can do that through your app, even on your phone, actually. You can just go in there, click on it, and there's a little place where you can leave a review. A 5-star one would be awesome.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions that you would love for us to address, we get some really good listener questions. You can send them to info@basicbananas.com. That's info@basicbananas.com. Till next time.
Bye for now. Rocket! To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.